and doing things as they ought to be done. That's what we're pursuing as we're working through the book of Proverbs together. And I thought I would try to illustrate it by an event in my life this week. I thought earlier in the week that our car was going to need a new starter. And you know, I am a wrench turner, I am not a mechanic. But I can usually get in there and I can loosen a bolt and I can take out what needs taken out and I can get it back in. Well, I thought I should just check. Now, I've replaced starters before. In fact, I remember doing one on a really cold night in a parking lot that was far enough away from our home that I couldn't go back for my tools, and we got it done. But I thought I should at least check what the manufacturer says about replacing the starter in this car. Well, it turned out to be way more involved than I would have anticipated. I would have had to take the battery out. I understood that I was going to have to disconnect the negative terminal. But I'd have had to take the battery clear out. And then I'd have to take the box that held the battery clear out. And then I have to take the computer module that runs the car clear out. Well, there was about 18 steps before I could even get to the starter. And then, of course, you got to put them all back in the correct order. And every nut, every bolt, everything that had some sort of a tension on it, there was a torque setting that I needed to have to get this starter in and out of there, was going to be quite an involved thing. Fortunately, it turned out not to need a starter, and my life was relieved. But the manufacturer was telling me, this is how you do the starter job. And I have learned over the years that while there are sometimes hacks that can be used to get things done, usually the manufacturer knows what he's talking about when he tells you this is how it ought to get done. Life has got manufacturer instructions given. And people are spending so much of their efforts trying to do hacks on life that don't work really very well. So we've got hacks on how to run our finances. We've got hacks on how to treat our spouses. We've got hacks on how to raise our children. We've got hacks on just about everything that is created from the mind of man trying to tell us how to live well. Does it surprise anybody that if you glance around the world that we see life not being lived well? It's because we have abandoned the Creator's instructions about our lives. My admonition to us all is we should get back to following the Creator's instructions for how life ought to be lived so that we can see life as it ought to be seen, and we can know how to live as we ought to live. Let me share with you what the Creator wants to work in our lives and give you a little bit of a taste of why it would be worth pursuing this. I'm reading here from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 and forward. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are counted blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps break open, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. You will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. I'll pause here, and I want to look at the second portion that I read there, starting with the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. One of the great mistakes that we make in our society is that we have abandoned the notion that God is the creator of it all. With the advent of Charles Darwin's awful theory of evolution, and I say not only awful in its impact, but awful in its intelligence. It's a bad theory. But the world has embraced it, and they have rejected the role of God the Creator. Whereas the Scriptures would remind us to remember our Creator, especially in the days of our youth, that it may go well with us. God knows you. He made you. He understands how your life ought to be lived. It is a horrible mistake to reject him. But people do all the time. And so it would be easy for people like us, like the son that's mentioned here in this passage, to lose sight of wisdom because we've lost sight of God. Do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Why would you do that? Well, it gives us some things that are worth noting. To keep sound wisdom and understanding is to hang on to that which will allow you to live with security and honor. You note how it says here, they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. That's honor. We've been watching, some of us, the Olympics and how they put the winners up on the stages and they hand them the medals because it's an honor. And in the old days, I think they still do it, they put the medal over the neck of the winners. It's an adornment. It's an honor. Wisdom is like that, to place that around your life. Let you live with honor and security because you know that you've done it the way things ought to be. I take seriously when I do my wrench turning the admonition when I have to remove a tire so that I can do some work on it. It gives me a torque setting for what those lug nuts ought to be set at. Sometimes I scratch my head and I think, you want it that tight? Well, yeah, the manufacturer wants it that tight. Well, what happens if you say, oh, I think I'll just put them on with my fingers? Eventually, you may find yourself running down the highway with only three tires or less. It could get to be really fascinating. And to drive along with blissful ignorance, even when you don't follow the manufacturer's instructions, is not secure living. How many things does the world have to try to tell us that we ought to do it this way, when they have not the wisdom of God because they've rejected the Creator's knowledge? They've rejected the Creator's instructions. And so people live in insecurity because they never know if it's going to work or not. Keep hold of sound wisdom and discretion. They will be security and honor to your lives. God knows what he's talking about when he instructs us. You may have a head-scratching moment sometimes when you receive the instruction from God. Go ahead, scratch your head. But follow the instruction at the end of the day. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of believing what the Scriptures say. Do you know one of the things that the Scriptures say? There is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ tells us, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way. All the religions of the world that try to function without Christ are false, and they will lead to untold heartache. People that hold the gospel at arm's length, when they finally die and they meet the one who made them, they hear, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." This instruction can be ignored in life, but it cannot bring a security for eternity. It cannot bring an honor for eternity. It cannot bring any life for eternity. All that matters when you hold God at arm's length, or we fail to tell them as we ought, is it leads tragic, eternal loss. If you hold to sound wisdom and discretion, you receive security and honor as a result, but you also get stability and confidence in life. It says, when you walk your way securely, your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Stability lets you lie down and sleep. Now, there may be other reasons that keep you awake that are physical, but Christians, we have no reason to lie down at the end of the day and not have a stable life. The promises of God are great and precious, and to hang on to them is a sweetness to the life. And our sleep can be at ease. And our confidence in God when all the rest of the world is seemingly falling apart around us, our God is a rock. And being saved, he has taken us from the morass of the world, and he set us on a stone that cannot be shaken. The promises of God for eternity can't be broken. When you have embraced Jesus Christ as your Savior, he has wrapped his hands around you, and no one can rip you loose from him. Not even you. He has you in such strong hold of life. There are things that maybe aren't as secure as we'd like. Our health might not be. Our finances might not be. The starter in our cars might not be. I mean, those things are, they're not insignificant, but they're not crucial. Eternal matters are crucial. Because if you live to be 120 years old, it's just the blink of an eye in terms of the span of your entire existence. And oh, for that day, Christian, when you wake up on the other side, or he comes to get us, and you see your Savior face to face, and he doesn't say, "Depart from me," but rather he says, "Enter into your rest. Well done, good and faithful servant." And then you will know the joy of your Savior forevermore. And when we've been there 10,000 years, we will have only just begun. 10,000 times, 10,000 times, 10,000. You can't even begin to number it because there is no more sense of time. It's just forever. And you will be secure in the love of the Lord. Oh, keep sound wisdom and understanding. The Lord has founded the earth. He's established the heavens. He knows how things ought to be seen. And he knows how things ought to be done. And we would be blessed if we would seek that knowledge and live that life. What can we gain from it? Well, besides security and honor and stability and confidence, we can gain access to the establishing source of our lives. I want to talk to you about something that's a little bit, well, it's complex, but I think it's worth trying. The wisdom of God is the fabric of the universe. And so to embrace the wisdom of God is to let the fabric of the universe seep through your lives. How did God make everything? He spoke it on the first and second and third and fourth and fifth and 6 days. God said, "Let there be." Who was there? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God in his infinite wisdom spoke things into existence. It is not a matter of simple biology or chemistry or physics or whatever else. Creation is the wisdom of God made manifest all around us. And when we embrace that wisdom, when we embrace Christ, the wisdom of God, we're embracing that which can seep into our lives, that's the establishing source of the universe. That establishing source, that fount of wisdom. Is gain that is a treasure better than silver and gold? I mean, who spoke silver and gold into existence in the first place? So who's more valuable, the silver and the gold, or the one who made it? And so what is more precious, the silver and gold, or the wisdom that created all those things? He who finds wisdom and gets understanding gains that which is better than silver or gold. She, that wisdom, is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Wisdom is a treasure. And it's granted as a gift from God through the Word. To learn how to see things as they ought to be seen and to do things as they ought to be done is a precious gift from God. So stop listening to the world and its supposed knowledge and listen instead to the Word of God and His truth. And this establishing source is a source of life and honor. God is life. What He speaks is life. His words are the word of life. Do you want to live well? Live by the word of God. Do you want to know honor? Do you want to be raised up? Do you want to have some sense of I'm somebody that amounts to something in this world? Well, don't ask the world for honor. They honor all the wrong things. God's honor is what counts. Brothers and sisters, do you fathom this idea? When you're saved, you become a child of God. You become a prince and a princess in the kingdom of God. You become joint heirs with Jesus of all that Jesus has. I can't begin to describe all because I don't know all that's ours in Christ, but I can tell you this: it's better to be a servant in the house of God than to be a lord on earth. The honor that comes with being a simple servant of God is greater for all eternity than the best adulations of the world that are around us. Wisdom is a treasure that leads to life and honor. And it leads in this life and the next to pleasantness and decency. I find these words to be interesting. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. It's an interesting decision on their translation, that word peace. I would have chosen, if I were doing the translation, to say decency. That we live in a kind of life that is at peace because we're leading the decent lives that God has for us. It's in all the maelstrom of life that's around that we try to grab hold of all of the stuff and nonsense of the world, that we spend all of our time grasping for it, and we reject all the pleasantness that can come with a simple gift. And we try to manufacture the kind of lives that the world holds as honorable, which are worlds that are so far from being decent and peaceful as a result. Wisdom, that infusing source, gives to us the instruction about how to live and why to live that way, so that we can live pleasant, decent lives. I looked around for illustrations of the opposite of this, and it's not hard to find. I was saddened to learn just the other day that a 25-year-old football player, Rondale Moore, he was an All-American wide receiver at Purdue University. He was a gifted player. And he had gone on to a successful NFL career. He had, by all of the standards of the world, everything that someone that was 25 years old would want to have. I was shocked to find that he took his own life in a hotel room. Is what the world offers really that useful? I hope he knew the Lord. The world is anything but pleasant, anything but decent and peaceful. But the wisdom of God can infuse in our lives as we learn to see things the way God wants them to be seen, and we learn to do things as the way God would have us do them. It can infuse into our lives pleasantness and decency of life, and that leads to peace. It would be tempting to end the message at this point, because it's enough to think on. But I want to pause and just strikingly say to you, treasure the wisdom that shows you how to live and why to live that way. Learn from God how to see things the way they ought to be seen and to do things the way they ought to be done. We have spent a fair bit of time talking about how to see things the way they ought to be seen. But there are instructions in the course of this passage that start telling us how to do things the way they ought to be done. You see, the Bible doesn't want to just give us ideas. The Bible wants to give us ideas that can be applied in life. And so Proverbs, being the book it is, doesn't just leave you at the idea stage. It gives us instructions about how to live. Now, these are not all the instructions. It is just a beginning sampling. But here are four things that this passage tells us about. Verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow, I will give it when you have it with you. The practice of wisdom is being highlighted here by a call to immediate generosity. When you can do something good for someone, do it. Now, sometimes you're asked to do things and you say, well, I can't do that. That's fine. But when you can do it, practice immediate generosity. Life is lived in the world that treasures dollar bills as if dollar bills are the things that ought to be held on to rather than the people whose lives can be helped by our generosity. There will never be a soul that passes from this life into the next that says, oh, I'm sure glad I hoarded my cash. But there will be many souls that will move on into the next life that will be able to say, I'm so glad God gave me the opportunity to help so-and-so. That which is done in that way for Jesus Christ will last forever. Practice immediate generosity. Practice loyalty to people who are around you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason. There are people around us that we have an opportunity to interact with, and it is easy to see them sometimes as drains upon our lives, as people who just keep sucking things out of us. And sometimes you might go out of your way to say, I need to put that person in their place so that they will stop being such a psychic vampire. Don't be that way. Practice loyalty with the neighbors who are around you, the people that God has brought not into just your immediate proximity, but into your world to have a way to touch their lives. These can be the people you work with. These can be the people you live in the neighborhood with. These can be the people you go to school with. These can be the people that you're at Walmart with. They are the neighbors that God gives us. And how are we supposed to love our neighbors? Love your neighbors as yourself. What would you want done in the similar circumstances? If you have it in your power to do it, and practice loyalty to those who are around you. Don't try to get away from them. Try to do what you can for them. Don't contend with them. Because, and this is the third thing, when things come against you and you start to feel stretched out too far, one of the ways that a lot of people react to that is that they lash out. And they just want to sweep everything away, and they want to say, "Get away from me, all you people that are hanging on me. Get away from me, all you people who want me to do things I shouldn't do." And you can, in those moments, fall into the temptation to violence. And it takes a lot of different forms. Sometimes it's physical. I mean, fights do break out. Sometimes it's verbal. You start chewing people out around you. Sometimes it's gossipy, because you start telling stories about, "Oh, did you hear about so-and-so?" All of those are forms of violence against people. Don't practice violence, and don't envy a man of violence. And do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. We have to make a choice where we're going to stand. Are you going to envy the person who lashes out and seems to get what others prize? Or are you going to follow the Lord and do things the way he would do, and instead of violence, you become a salve to their lives? And instead of wanting to gain all that the world has to offer, we look to God and said, "What gifts do you have for me?" And the gifts of God are so much more precious. The practice of wisdom is towards immediate generosity, towards loyalty, especially to our neighbors, and to the avoidance of violence in its various forms, and a choice between being devious or upright. For a devious person is an abomination to the Lord. The person who sits there and plots how he can use people to his own end, the person who wants to craft scenarios where that person's well-being is taken from him or her and applied to me, that person who is good at schemes and carrying them out. Do you want to be that, or do you want to be the upright person? The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. Why should you practice wisdom? These are four ways that are mentioned in this passage. There are more. Why should you practice wisdom? Why should you seek to see things the way they ought to be seen and to do things the way they ought to be done? Well, it started by saying, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom." And it ends here with, "The curse is on the house of the wicked." He's going to scorn the scornful, but to humble folk he grants favor. Fools will end up in disgrace, but the wise will inherit honor. Why would we seek wisdom? Well, life goes better with wisdom, both here and especially in eternity. Life goes better with wisdom. What will the Word of God have to say to us? There's a lot coming. I hope that you pay attention. But I want to remind you in closing that wisdom is the very fabric of the universe. And to embrace wisdom is to put yourself in touch with that fabric. And by being in touch with that fabric, the fabric that the creator of you infused the universe with, it will be like plugging in to a pure power source that can energize life. It's not always easy. I don't offer that. But I will say it's always good, because our God is always good. Why seek wisdom? It's so your life can go the way God intends for it to go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there is much that we have to learn about wisdom. There's much that I have to learn. I could see myself giving in to any number of contrary ideas without much trouble. And so I pray for myself and for this congregation and for all who might be listening today. I pray, Lord, that you would help us treasure wisdom and learn to practice wisdom. And in so doing, live the treasured life wisdom wants to impart, especially through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.